Portions of this program may be pre-recorded.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 831-0917. Perhaps you have questions, comments, dialogue, and discussion that you'd like to jump into this arena of discussion today. We're talking about the limits of government, or God and government. God instituted government. In fact, you find the first mention of God's institution of government in Genesis chapter 9. Keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen, God created three institutions. He created the home, he created government, and he created the church, and he did so in that order. And so therefore, anything in those three categories, and that covers from Genesis 1:1 through Revelation 22, it covers the home, the church, and government. And anything between the covers of your Bible and mine, Genesis 1:1 through Revelation 22, deals with either government, society in general, that is the home and the family or the church, and spiritual things. And so therefore, it should concern every Christian when we see this aspect, that is governmental aspect, intruding as it has to the point where it can tell churches to lock down, where it can tell you as an individual, me as an individual, to sequester ourselves in our homes, and that we can have no choice. We must obey what the government says. Ladies and gentlemen, I've got a text here that I'd like to read. It says, I just found, this is a listener, that says, I just found the Chicago Department of Health Facebook live video where the mayor introduces the director of the Department of Health, and she admits and brags that they are tracking, listen, they are tracking all the cell phones in Chicago to determine if people are staying home and where they're going. They're pinging the phones every 30 minutes during the day to determine patterns and locations.
Wow.
Overnight, they found the phone stationary for hours. So they know you're at home. They proudly display a graph of this information. They have reached back 6 months to gather data to determine, in their words, the potential spread of this virus. This writer says, holy cow, we knew they were probably watching everybody, but they just publicly admitted
it. You hear that? Everybody's a criminal now.
Yes.
Without a warrant. You haven't done anything wrong. You're a criminal. We're gonna track you. And there's the assumption of guilt.
Yes.
Literally, everything stood on its head here. We're assuming you're doing something wrong.
So
you're infected.
Track you, track
exactly.
You, ping your phone. Ladies and gentlemen, by the way, I don't know if you're aware of it or not, but any cell phone that you carry, I don't care the name brand, it has a chip in that cell phone, whether your phone is off or on. It can be tracked to within a 36-inch square of where you are on the face of the globe. This writer, this listener to the broadcast says they've admitted that without any warrant. They're justifying the violation of personal information because people are sharing their location on multiple telephone applications. A company known as Blue Dot is providing it to them. If Chicago is doing this, the rest of the cities are probably doing the same thing, and no one knows, and no one is complaining about it yet. So, ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand that we're finding major intrusions on our liberties and our freedoms at the hand of the government in America.
Think about this. I'm very knowledgeable on pinging phones because not too long back, a service that was being provided to bail bond agents, where literally you'd sign a release, a client, a potential criminal, this person out on release, out on bond, as part of their release and the bondsman making bond for them, they'd sign an agreement saying that they allowed for their phone to be pinged so that the bondsman would know where they're at. Well, that's great, except for the fact a particular bondsman had somebody come in and say, well, how do I have this done? How do I do this? And the thing is, the person that owns the phone has to sign a release saying, you can ping my phone, okay? That release has to be done. A person came in and said, all right, this is my phone. I'll sign your release, and I'll pay you to ping my phone. And they did that. Signed the release, paid to ping the phone. They pinged the phone. That turned into a huge ordeal. Literally, AT&T and Verizon yanked the contracts that allowed people, bondsmen, to do that. They did all these internet stories about how evil this was, that bail bondsmen were tracking phones. And you go, people signed releases and said, yes, you can track my phone, so you know where I'm at. Now, this, to the contrary, what's taking place with government is they're pinging all these phones. You know what? if people raise sand right now, call AT&T, call Verizon, say, what in the world are you doing? I mean, when it's lawful and legal and signed off on and all, people still get upset. But now this is government literally just stepping all over your rights and liberties. You don't see it and feel it, I guess, but they're stepping all over your rights and liberties. I talked about them offshoring, outsourcing, if you will, the study on the virologist study on the Wuhan flu, the bats, the coronavirus and bats, and how I think they offshored that because they knew it was unlawful in the United States years ago.
Dr. Fauci, by the way, authorized $7.1 million.
3.7, I saw.
3.7, then a later one, a total of $7.1 million.
Holy cow!
Authorized for them to do that. It was Dr. Fauci that signed off on and authorized that $7.1 million to be.
There's a story. It goes way back to, oh my goodness, it's the story of the eagle and the arrow. It's one of Aesop's fables, and it talks about the arrow, the eagle flying through the air, and here's a thud. He looks down, and as he's falling to the earth, he realizes there's an arrow that's penetrated his side, and it says, in the haft of the arrow was adorned with the plume of the eagle. One of the eagle's feathers was what made that arrow fly straight and able to hit the eagle. It says, we often give our enemies the means of our own destruction. Are we not doing that today? I talked about the outsourcing. I want you folks to look back in history. I don't know how many stories still exist on the internet about Echelon. Years ago, FBI, CIA, they're wanting to not just track your phones, they want to know what kind of communications taking place on your phone, the text messages and the phone calls. They offshored a program called Echelon. It has been operated out of Europe, from what I understand, and all these different phone calls were being tracked, messages saved, vocal communications saved. They couldn't do that inside the United States because it would be a civil rights violation. So they paid a contractor to do it offshore, and then they tapped the information. Now, was it Clapper that talked about, you know, we're not doing this wittingly? Well, they're still doing it, folks. They're still doing it. But now they're doing it, you know, on steroids, in spades. They've taken it to a whole new level.
They're doing it under the pretense that because the coronavirus is so deadly, and yet, ladies and gentlemen, you recall that the first numbers they said that would be deaths in America would be 2.2 million Americans if nothing was done. Then it was ultimately reduced to between 150 and 250,000. And then it was reduced. Now they're saying approximately 60,000.
The other side will argue that, you know, that those are the estimates if we don't do anything kind of
yes.
thing. And we do stuff, and they're still saying it would be hundreds of thousands of deaths if we go to this extreme course.
If we hadn't locked down.
If we shut the economy down, destroy everything here. I kind of wonder what's going on in Denmark. You look at the numbers out of Denmark, they're not seeing any of this. So I still have to study Denmark. What's going on in Denmark? Why don't they have all these cases? But the idea of absolutely decimating the economy will have an effect on mortality rates. You'll have people that die of other diseases because the economy shut down. They were not able to get treatment. They were not able to get care. You'll have people that go and, God forbid, they will go and commit suicide because they are completely distraught about their situation.
In fact, I've got a documentation here that we'll talk about during the course of the broadcast that covers that. But I'm thankful that some are wising up. In fact, the number are wising up. I'm thankful to see, ladies and gentlemen, we have about 60 churches and pastors that have filed suit against mayors and governors in their states as a result of the unethical, unholy, unbiblical, unconstitutional laws.
Stop.
That they have implemented.
Hold on. The people that are making these decisions, they'll never pay a price. I'll use case in point, Lois Lerner, head of the IRS. They targeted hundreds and hundreds of Tea Party groups. Those Tea Party groups did win their lawsuit, but Lois Lerner's already retired. She has her platinum parachute where you, the taxpayer, will pay her for the rest of her life at an executive level. She's the one that did that, I believe.
Yeah.
Now she took the fifth when she stood before Congress. She wouldn't speak. She's guilty of sin, folks. Guilty of sin. I just feel it down deep down in my heart. She's guilty of sin. Folks like that that make horrible decisions. I could start talking about Robin, Harold, and Dave Miracle here locally, and their what I believe was malfeasance with the water management district. You don't do your job, you refuse to do your job, but you still get your paycheck in government. And when you retire, you still get your platinum parachute in government. We, the taxpayers, will pay for all their malfeasance. You understand?
Yes.
It's disgusting.
That's what is taking place. And I'm glad to see, ladies and gentlemen, some of the business people that are waking up and saying that we're not going to be forced to shut down forever. See, I've asked the question, ladies and gentlemen, perhaps you have, how long is long enough? How long do we social distance? How long do we stay in lockdown? How long a church is supposed to stay in neutral? How long are we supposed to wear masks? How long should we not shake hands? In fact, Dr. Fauci said we should never again shake hands. Bill Gates says we ought to be locked down for 18 months until we get a vaccine. Dr. Fauci said 10 weeks.
I had fun with my preacher there in the hills of East Tennessee. Early on in this thing, I came up to him and I said, I guess we ought to fist bump or elbow. He goes, no, brother, we can hug it out. It's all good. I like that attitude, that demeanor. The reality is the fear that's been perpetrated upon America is wrong. Yes, this is a virulent disorder, disease. Folks ought to be wise. They ought to have sound minds. They ought to be careful. But this is ridiculous what's taking place.
It's ridiculous. And they're saying that, Greg, they're saying that, in fact, some of the pundits, the tyrant dictator wannabes, are saying that we need to have armbands for people.
Help me.
A blue armband that says that you're clear, and a pink armband that says you still are capable of getting the virus before you can ever go into business.
No.
But I'm thankful to see here's one that's a New York City tailor, defies the state order. He says, I'm going to open my doors come blank or high water. And it talks about he's a tailor, and he's makes suits for anywhere from $15,000 and up. But he says, I've got to pay my bills. I've got to operate my business. He's 78 years old. He says, we've applied for the loan even to break to no avail. We've got nothing, said the 78-year-old veteran and former Congress on the GOP ticket, it says here, in the 12th District. He noted that he had cut 12 members of his 21-member staff, and he's been in business for 35 years. He said, I'm opening my business.
Yes.
And I'm thankful to see those out in California, Ventura County, that for the past couple of weeks, they've gone out and filled the beaches up. And you say, now listen, here's where I'm going. There's some that say, well, that's in defiance of the law of the land, and that Christians ought to obey the law. Greg, I want to ask you a very profound question for our listeners to hear. How are laws instituted? What makes a law? What's the difference in a law and a fiat executive order?
We've got executive orders flying these days, folks, and there is no authority of law unless there's a provision within law that gives executive authority to act in a particular way. The idea of shutting down your civil liberty, so I haven't heard the president declare martial law yet. And until that happens, you know, once that happens, we can have a real debate and discussion.
Right.
But you have to have not only a law that backs up the executive. An executive order cannot be outside the law, is my point.
That's right.
You have to the executive order has to be within the law, and that law has to be within the supreme law of the land. There has to be a nexus from one to the next to the next that makes it a lawful law, a lawful order. A police officer can tell you, you need to do this and this and this. But unless they're acting lawfully, you have no obligation to obey that. Now, I'm not saying don't obey police officers, but you need to also know your civil rights, your civil liberties, so that an individual can't just force you down a pigeonhole you, force you down a path that's an unlawful path.
Well, it's just as the one case where a lady with her two children was in a city park.
Oh, goodness.
And the police officer surrounded her, handcuffed her, arrested her, put her in the squad car, left the two children right there on the playground, and supposedly she had broken the law of social no gathering or social distancing, and she had broken that law and hauled her off and put her in jail. I don't know the outcome of that. That was just the past several days. Here's an article that says, God and Trump are my leaders, not you. A Massachusetts gun store owner message that government's trying to shut his doors.
I wouldn't say God and Trump, but that is an interesting little headline there.
That he said it was God and Trump.
Yeah.
And he goes on to say all of the constitutional trashing actions during the Corona 19 shutdown and lockdown, none is more obviously illegal than declaring gun stores non-essential and shuttering them.
Yeah. How do you like the idea of a government, a bureaucracy? Somebody else determining that you are essential or non-essential.
Therein lies the whole quandary.
That sounds really fascist to me.
Where the government, based on fiat decision by individual mayors, individual governors, made the decision what is essential and what is not. They said, in essence, across the nation, liquor stores are essential. They said, in essence, that abortion is essential. So abortion murder clinics remained open. They said it's essential. And some of the states that have legalized pot, it's essential to continue to sell marijuana, and the pot shops are open. They've said, in essence, it is essential to have anything but a church, and they've viewed churches as non-essential. And now they've made the decision that some of these big box stores that you can go into that you can't just buy groceries. You must just buy groceries. You can't buy anything else. So they required the stores to tape off large sections of the stores of what you cannot buy.
What's essential and non-essential? I thought about that the other day. If you block off and you say you can just buy food at Walmart, and I say, hey, I need to buy a car battery. And I know that's non-essential. My car is broken down in your parking lot, and I can't get back to my home.
And that's illegal based on fiat.
You understand?
In Michigan to even plant a garden in your backyard. You cannot go to the store and buy seed
plant the garden. In your own backyard. You know, the other day I saw a picture of a basketball goal. I think this was in Chicago, and they had literally taken 2x6s or 2x8s, whatever, and they bolted those to the rim so you could not shoot baskets at this basketball court. And I thought, that's pretty extreme right there. Some school teacher supposedly saw two kids playing on a basketball court, was shouting to them that she hopes they die a horrible death from coronavirus. I mean, that's pretty evil. But think about the basketball court. Jacksonville, Florida has more park and recreation lands than any other city in the continental United States. Huge. But I want y'all to understand, those public parks, those public playgrounds, they're government parks, they're government playgrounds. They take your money to fund them, but they also shut the gates and keep you out of them whenever they don't want you to play in them. Okay, I could tell you a long story about years ago, I arranged to use the Westside Regional Park. And this was for an Envirothon. I was heading a couple different committees, and I was chairing the Envirothon that year. We had about 300 students that were competing in this environmental event, and we had to pick a venue. And we analyzed the venues, and I'm going Westside Regional Fits. We've not done it there before. It has the proper amenities. You know, we can make this happen. We had the secretary call. There's nothing arranged there. I said, book it, schedule it. We scheduled directly with the Department of Parks and Recreation, and I think Culbreth was the head then. And Debbie, God bless her, I won't even use her last name, she was running the Westside Regional Park. She called me absolutely ballistic that I had not called and asked her permission. I said, hold on a second, Debbie, you work for the same people that I work for. You work for the people of the city of Jacksonville, right? And she didn't understand that. She said, you're required to ask me first. And I'm going, call your boss. I asked him. I made sure there wasn't something organized. But that's the attitude. There's an ownership that somehow or another, some within the bureaucracy, they think they own all these things. Mm-hmm. They think that they – now, keep in mind, we pay these people a lot of money to serve us. And by the way, they're bound by the Constitution of the United States because each one of them still swears an oath to support, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. All right?
Therein lies the real problem. There you go. Is the Constitution itself. In fact, it's Matt Stable with Liberty Counsel that says this. Let me just read you a paragraph from his news article on this subject. Restaurants are filing bankruptcy. Too many previously solvent hairdressers, barbershops, and Main Street American stores have already shuttered permanently. Produce farmers are having to plow perfectly good crops back into the dirt. Dairy farmers are being forced to dump milk and their milk products in the ground. Unemployment and the desperation that inevitably accompanies it is skyrocketing. Rogue governments, this is Matt Staver, Liberty Counsel now, rogue governors and other tyrannical officials intent upon disregarding the Constitution and the law are killing America with unreasonable restrictions.
You know what? There's an element of this that I'm thanking God that it's actually taking place because the people in general, the masses, are beginning to see a little bit of what perhaps we've seen for decades, the growing bureaucracy and the web that they weave. Years ago, understand, Duval County had dozens of commercial dairies. Dozens. And I'm not going to start calling names, but I will tell you that I up close and personal watched how they shut down a dairy. A third generation dairyman in Jacksonville, Florida, harassed him out of business. And one after another, get this, it was groups like the Department of Environmental Protection. They come in and they go, we need you to do this and this and this and this and this. All these different arbitrary standards applied. And sometimes the cost would be crazy cost associated, and the rancher would say, no, I can't afford it. Well, sorry, are you going to do this, or we're going to start fining you $1,000 a day or $10,000 a day? And the rancher would say, I'm done. I'm out. Today, unless somebody's opened up a new dairy, all those dairies from years ago have been shut down. By the way, one of those, that third generation dairyman I'm thinking about right now, he jumped through all the hoops and said, how do I keep you guys from doing this again? They said, well, you need to be under the CAFO standard, C-A-F-O, Consolidated Animal Feeding Operation. That's a federal code, and we can regulate you. If you have over 700 cows, we can regulate you. So he sold a bunch of his cows and got down under the 700. And guess what? 6 months later, that same Department of Environmental Protection guy came in with an EQD, Environmental Quality Division, for the city of Jacksonville. And they said, hey, we've got another list for you. Mm-hmm. They shut him down. Mm-hmm. They shut him down.
Governmental control. Here's the point, though. At what point do we say that that's an overreach? Now, we're dealing with the coronavirus. We're dealing with what is taking place. Here's a restaurant that is in Houston, Texas. It's called Buffalo Grill. And the Buffalo Grill owners have been providing meals for the ones that are out on the front line, the fire departments, the police department.
First responders, right.
And they've been providing food for them since 1984, half price. So during the course of this pandemic, they've been providing free food for the first defenders, those that are out there on the front line, police officers. And they were ticketed because police officers came to get the food. They didn't go in to eat. It was handed to them at the door. Police officers remained standing outside the door. And then that was considered a gathering, not social distancing. And so the restaurant manager received a ticket and
citation.
A fine to be... What
town is that in?
That's in Houston.
Are they turning loose the criminals out there the way they are in all these other places?
Absolutely.
Isn't it crazy? Okay, so we're going to turn loose the criminals because we don't want them to get this Wuhan flu thing and then cost the city or county or state a lot of money. We're going to turn loose the criminals, but we're going to go to business people and we're going to harass them. Now think about this. It's been said for a long time, follow the money and you'll find the truth.
Go ahead.
We're there. I mean, they're able to take money away from those businesses, seize their assets and everything else. But that criminal over there, he's costing money. So we're going to turn them loose. Well, this doesn't make any sense.
What we're watching is the globalists. It's the fact of the globalists. Yep. Those that want one world governance, Bill Gates and others that are wanting no boundaries, no borders. Dr. Fauci is on the Bill Gates Foundation team. Dr. Burks is also on the Bill Gates Foundation board. And they're all pushing the fact that we've got to have a universal global vaccine. And that'll be Bill Gates' vaccine with the ID 2020 chip in that. Here's an article that says, Greg, Attorney General Bill Barr directs federal prosecutors to protect civil liberties in America during COVID-19. Attorney General William Barr on Monday directed U.S. Attorney Generals to be on the lookout for state and local governments violating.
Yeah.
You would think now state and local governments wouldn't do that.
They wouldn't do
state
that.
State and local
Come
governments
on.
Violating the constitutional
They're
rights
good
of individuals during the strict COVID-19 restrictions at the state and the local levels. Quote, many policies that would be unthinkable in regular times have become commonplace in recent weeks, and we do not want that to unduly interfere with the important efforts of the state and the local officials, Bill Barr said in his memo to the Attorney Generals. But the Constitution, he says, Bill Barr speaking, Attorney General speaking, but the Constitution is not suspended in the times of crisis, end quote.
Right.
We must, he quotes, we must therefore be vigilant to ensure its protection as preserved and at the same time that the public is protected. He says that he wants to thank everyone that is taking part and the protection of our constitutional liberties.
Gun and ammunition sales shot up. I think the past 90 days they've been off the charts. I mean, beating all sorts of records because people just have this sense about them that something's changing here, that our liberties are in jeopardy. And, you know, if this goes much further, you know, how long before people are going around and raids and such just to provide for their basic needs? I need to be able to protect my home. I need to be able to protect my family. So people are out there buying guns and ammunition while the left is lurching, the left is leaping, the left is grabbing the opportunity to seize rights and liberties. You step back in time, Hurricane Katrina, Nagin was down there. They told him, you need to get out. Well, first off, they spent hundreds of millions of dollars, the federal government, state government, to make sure those levees were secure, okay? And tons of that money got spent elsewhere.
Squandered.
We spend the money on parks and sidewalks and this and that instead of on those levees. Those levees would be fine. So they didn't spend the money that was allocated for that purpose Okay, so the levee boards didn't do their job. The mayor didn't do his job. The governor didn't do their job. Nagin's told, hey, the levees may break. You need to get people out. And you, there are hundreds of school buses. Get people out. Get people out. Well, the school buses got left there. The place got flooded, and it was all Bush's fault. People, you know, horrible things were said about Bush in the midst of that. How in the world was it George Bush's fault? But in the midst of that, you know what they also did? People are in distraught conditions. Their house has been flooded. Some of them sitting on the roof, and they took their shotgun up on the roof, and they go, I'm going to at least protect my house. I'm not going to let people take my stuff away. I'm going to protect my family and make sure that we've got something to come back to. And they were going door to door doing what?
Confiscating
weapons. And you go, hold on a second here. How in the world does that make any sense whatsoever? Step back in time. There's a Boston bombing. The two terrorists with the pressure pots, you know, pressure kettles, whatever, blew those jokers up during the marathon. And the law enforcement started going door to door without warrants, without an active crime in progress, and entering people's homes in order to search for the Sarnoff brothers. Well, you know, that sounds good, except for the fact that my civil liberties ought to remain intact.
And they didn't have a warrant.
That's right.
Greg, we've got about 2 minutes left from this broadcast today. Let's do a very quick trickle down, as I call it, to where we need to go to tie up the loose ends today. Ladies and gentlemen, God granted government. God created government. In fact, in Genesis chapter 9 and then in Romans chapter 13, the best two texts in relationship to studying government, you can find it throughout the Old Testament with the rules and regulations, the guidelines and the laws set up and put into place by those that were the hierarchy, those governmental officials of that day. But the primary duty of government is not for welfare. The primary duty of government is not for the allocation of wealth or the reallocation thereof. The primary duty of government is not for to repair roads and bridges. The primary duty of government is not for education. The primary duty is not to control. The primary duty of government
secure our liberties.
That's right.
They're articulated very clearly. You know, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The argument was life, liberty, and property. But government is instituted among men for that purpose, to secure our liberties.
If we're put in forced lockdown, have they infringed upon our liberties?
They've trampled all over our liberties, folks.
Just as though the Constitution doesn't exist.
God.
Ladies and gentlemen, we need to obey God. We need to recognize when there's an illegitimate, unholy, ungodly, unconstitutional regulation put in place. We do not need to bow or bend. And I'm not talking about anarchy. I'm talking about honoring God first. It was Peter that said we ought to obey God rather than man.
Absolutely.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located just 1 mile south of I-295, you are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal, Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.